Hello and welcome to the Barton Legal Podcast. I'm Bill Barton, a solicitor who lives and breathes construction and engineering law. At Barton Legal, we help clients in the UK and around the world on everything from litigation and arbitration to drafting and negotiating contracts. And in this podcast, we unpack the latest legal trends and problems facing the industry, providing you with straight-talking insights to help break down these complex legal questions. So, let's get on with today's episode.
Hi, I'm Bill Barton from Barton Legal, and today I'm going to be presenting another legal bite size about adjudication. So this is just part of our series of providing you with a brief overview of some of those terms or procedures or other things that you may hear in relation to construction and engineering and wonder what they are. So here we go. Adjudication. Now this is just an overview. What's adjudication? Well, it's a method of dispute resolution that is used within the construction industry. It was actually introduced by the Construction and Regeneration Act 1996, commonly referred to as the Construction Act. The procedure for it is set out in the Scheme for Construction Contracts, England and Wales, Regulations 1998. And the whole thing of adjudication really stems back to the DOM form of subcontract to JCT. But you don't need to go there. If you just remember, it's the Construction Act. In essence, adjudication is designed for a quick and temporary, probably, binding dispute resolution. And this was seen as especially important in the construction industry because disputes are frequent and cash flow is a real concern. So common disputes that are adjudicated include delay claims, defects, final accounts, and issues with the notices served by the parties in accordance or not in accordance with their contracts. Who can adjudicate? The adjudication provisions of the Act allow any party to a construction contract to adjudicate, and there are some exceptions. What isn't a construction contract is something that's been considered by the courts over the years. So under the Act, a construction contract is defined as an agreement with a person for the carrying out of construction operations or arranging for the carrying out of construction operations by others, whether under a subcontract or otherwise, providing their own labour or the labour of others for the carrying out of those construction operations. It's a very wide definition, but there are some limits. In a case from 2024 called Abbey Healthcare, Mill Hill Limited versus Augusta 2008 LLP, the Supreme Court held that a collateral warranty is not a construction contract. As a result, there is no general right to adjudicate under a collateral warranty. There are also limitations around design work and whether or not that falls within the definition of a construction contract. So it's always sensible, wise to get some advice on that. There are also specific types of disputes that cannot be adjudicated or where the ability to adjudicate is not automatic. The former are set out in Section 105(1) of the Construction Act, and these include things like drilling for oil or gas, works involving nuclear energy, and certain works including chemicals. But again, that's not an exhaustive list. Do look at the Act. Also, another example would be residential occupiers. So in order to adjudicate, if you're a residential party entering into a contract, you must include a specific adjudication clause within your contract. But when can you adjudicate? For a dispute to be adjudicated, it must have crystallised. This means that there is a dispute, singular, and this dispute has been put to the other side in at least relatively clear and specific terms. There should have been an opportunity for the other party to respond. Where a dispute hasn't crystallised and a party has simply commenced adjudication proceedings, the court is likely to refuse to enforce any decision. What about procedure? Well, you start with a notice of adjudication. This is a document setting out the nature of the dispute and the remedy sought. it has to be validly served on the responding party, and the provisions for that are normally set out within your specific contract. There must be an appointment of an adjudicator. That should be done within 7 days of service of the notice. It is something that can be agreed between the parties, or alternatively, you can use a nominating body, which will normally be set out again in your contract. But picking a suitable nominating body should be an important consideration when you're negotiating the contract. You then must serve a referral notice. This should be served by the referring party within 7 days of the notice. Note that these are very short timescales, and it's something to be aware of within adjudication, especially when you compare it with normal litigation. The referral notice is far more detailed than the notice of adjudication. This is essentially a full-on statement of case. It should set out all the key facts and pieces of evidence in detail, and it's frequently accompanied by witness statements and even expert reports. The responding party then responds, and this is their response. This is essentially a defence to the case, or perhaps only specific aspects to it, put forward by the referring party. And the general position is that the responding party has 7 days to serve this, but this is a timescale frequently extended by an adjudicator, or it might be extended through agreement between the parties. There can be further submissions, but this is at the discretion of the adjudicator, and they may allow the parties to serve a rejoinder and surrejoinder, or of course the parties could agree between themselves and then ask the adjudicator to set that out in their timetable. What about the decision? Well, the standard provision is that the adjudicator should reach their decision within 28 days of service of the referral notice, and that can be extended by 14 days if the parties agree. But even with extensions, it's still a very fast process, and that's one of the things that makes adjudication unique. Will the decision be binding and enforceable? All being well and subject to a decision, yes, it will be binding on a temporary basis. That means until it's overturned by formal court proceedings or adjudication. But there can be issues with enforcement. Adjudication decisions, as I say, are initially binding on the parties, and that typically means that the losing party needs to pay the winning party in line with the decision. But note that unlike litigation, each party bears their own costs, so that's an additional factor to take into account. Failure to comply with the decision will mean that the successful party can then apply to the Technology and Construction Court, which is a branch of the property courts, for summary judgment to enforce the award. The courts will almost always enforce the decision, although they may decide not to do so if they are of the view that the adjudicator lacked jurisdiction or there was a serious breach of natural justice. It's important to remember that, unlike with a normal court decision, which is final, subject to appeals, with adjudication, the losing party may seek final determination of the dispute through an alternative forum such as litigation or arbitration. This would involve a full assessment of the case, so it's effectively starting all over again. It's always worth checking your contract for provisions relating to timeframes, relating to the reassessment of the case. Limitations may be shorter than normal. So, that was a bite size about adjudication, which I hope you found helpful. But if you would like more information, then please contact me, Bill Barton from Barton Legal, either through our website, www.bartonlegal, or you can contact me on LinkedIn or various other ways. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining me for today's Barton Legal podcast. Please make sure you follow the show in your podcast app to get new episodes as soon as they're released. We'll be tackling another important topic in this month's Barton Legal webinar, and you can register for free and watch back our previous webinars at bartonlegal.com. Why don't you connect with me on LinkedIn and follow Barton Legal to keep up to date with all the legal trends and news? I look forward to speaking to you again in the next Barton Legal podcast.